Dr. Miguel Gonzalez, President of Reasons for Faith International Ministries and your Bible teacher here on Truth to Live By. I wanted to take this opportunity to thank you for joining us, and I want to extend an invitation for you to join us each and every week at this same time and on this same station. It is our prayer that God is using these programs to minister to you wherever you might be in your spiritual life. Father, we thank you for this time that we have to come together as a family to study your word. We pray that you would speak to us only as you can, loudly and clearly. May you open the eyes and ears of our hearts and of our understanding so that we may grow in our faith, be conformed to the image of Christ, and live lives that bring you honor and glory. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen. The what, why, and how of worship. This morning we're going to, today we're going to look at John chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 19 through 24. But before we go to that passage, I want to ask you this question. When I say the word worship, what's the first thing that comes to mind? When I say the word worship, what is the first thing that comes to mind? Is it a building? Is it people? Is it prayer? Is it a song? Is it music? What is it that comes to mind when you hear the word worship? Well, I believe that the very first thing that should come to mind when we hear the word worship is God. Worship is all about him. So we're going to look at John chapter 4. And of course, what I'm going to talk about today is not an exhaustive study on what, why, and how of worship, but it's a piece of that. And whatever we say today, as we draw out information from this passage, we know that it is true, and we know that it will be consistent with everything else the Bible has to say about the what, the why, and the how of worship. Because the Bible never contradicts itself, it only complements itself on every subject matter that it covers. So let's first look at the what is worship. And let's go to John chapter 4, and we want to read verses 19 through 24. It says, "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You know, Scripture itself never actually gives us a precise definition of worship. But the more we spend time studying Scripture, the more we find out that it does speak about worship and gives us a greater picture or definition as we take everything we read regarding worship and start putting it all together. Let's just sample some of the things the Bible says about worship. For example, the Bible declares that worship is declaring God's worth. Worship is declaring God's worth, but it's not just that. Worship is also putting God first in our lives. So worship can be partly defined as declaring God's worth. It can be partly defined as putting God in our lives first, although that's not only what worship is. It can also be defined or partly defined as communicating to God how much we love Him, among other things. So the more you spend time reading Scripture, the more you start learning what worship is, because the more you start seeing the pieces that form the bigger definition of worship. And all these things we mentioned are part of worship, but they're not the precise definition. There is one key thing that we have to understand about all these three we saw and all the other definitions of worship that you will find in Scripture. Scripture clearly tells us that genuine worship is about giving to God. It is not about getting from God. You know, it amazes me that many people, and I'm talking about Christians, because much of this won't necessarily apply to non-believers. Non-believers who do not have the Spirit of God in them are incapable of worshiping God in spirit and truth. But it amazes me as we find a common denominator among all the things that Scripture says worship is, and we find that the common denominator is worship is about giving to God, not getting from God. It amazes me that when you go to church on Sunday, oftentimes you see in the face of the congregants the disappointment, because on that particular Sunday, they didn't get what they went to church for. As if that was the reason they were coming to church in the first place. Listen, we go to church and come together corporately to give to God. We are there first and foremost to give to God what is rightfully His, and that is our everything corporately. Yes, we are there to hear the preaching of his word, and yes, we are there to be ministered to by the Holy Spirit, and yes, we are there to get fellowship and have Bible study and a meal or whatever else we do, but first and foremost, we are there to give to God. Listen, genuine worship is about pleasing God. Are you listening to me? Genuine worship is about pleasing God, not having God please you, though He takes great delight in enriching your life, in bringing you great joy and pleasure in life through His relationship with you. But at the end of the day, when we're talking about worship, what is worship? It is about giving to God, and it is about pleasing Him, not getting from God and having God please you. So that is what worship is. That is the what part of this message. Now let's go to the why. Why should we worship? Well, we're going to turn to several passages as we look at the why. First, I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to be looking at verse 18. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You know what we just read in this passage? Why should we worship? Because worship changes us. Listen to what he says again, Paul. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness. When you fail to worship God, you fail to give God the opportunity to transform you into His likeness. And you know what? The process of sanctification is the process of God conforming you more and more to the image of Christ. The process of sanctification is the process by which God takes you from point A to point B, and in that stretch of time and space, God is causing you to change and become more and more like Jesus. You know what? When you finally get what worship is, and when you finally actually worship, you will experience and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when you do that, you are changed. Listen, there is no greater experience in life than to give to God and please Him. And the reward that is ours to have when we give to God and please Him is a changed life, a life that is conformed more and more to the image of Christ. Another reason as to why we should worship, let's go back to John chapter 4. And let's look at verse 23, which we read. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Listen, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Why should we worship? Why should we worship? Because God desires our worship. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. We should worship because God desires our worship. We are not robots. None of us who have received Jesus Christ, received Him as our Lord and Savior, are against our will. He never imposes Himself on us. He never imposes the gospel on us. Everything He offers us, He offers us, offers it to us freely. But we must, as an act of our will, decide and choose to do that. And God, without forcing His children, God desires for us to, out of an act of our will and out of obedience and out of our own desire, He desires us to worship Him. So, and this is not an exhaustive list. This is just a sampling of why we should worship. So we should worship because worship changes us. We should worship because God desires our worship. The final one I'm going to use here is found in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 11. Listen to this. Now you tell me why. The why of this passage. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Well, according to this passage, why should we worship God? Because He deserves our worship. God deserves our worship. He is God. He is above anything that we can fully imagine or even begin to comprehend. We struggle just with what He has revealed to us about Himself. And this is only that which He has revealed to us about Himself. There's so much more about God that we don't even know because we just couldn't possibly get it. We struggle with this. Never mind what he's done for us. He died. He died on a cross out of his unbelievable and incomprehensible love for us. Why should we worship him? Because he deserves our worship because of who he is and because of what he has done. So what is worship? Well, worship is about giving to God and pleasing him. Why should we worship? Because it changes us, because he desires it, and because he deserves it. Now the how. How should we worship? Well, if we go back to John chapter 4, and I'm going to specifically talk about verse 23 and 24, or we can go to 24. But notice that in this passage, in all of it, 19 through 24, worship is not defined as a place. It's not defined as a time. It's not defined as a song. Here in this passage, John chapter 4, verses 19 through 24, Jesus explains that worship is more than those things. It's more than a place, it's more than a time, it's more than a song. Here he explains how we are to worship. And listen to verse 24. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. That is how we are to worship, in spirit and in truth. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to worship God in spirit? Well, he's not talking about the Holy Spirit here. He's talking about our spirit. Jesus is saying that in our inner life, in our spirit, in our emotions, in our will, in our heart, we should worship. Worship is not a flippant thing. Worship is not a switch that we flick on and off. Worship is about everything we are inside, in our spirit. And he says that genuine worship happens when the very core of our being is involved in the adoration of God. Listen, the worship experience should be a moving, deep experience, a profound experience for the believer. It is when one connects his spirit to the Spirit of God and comes to God with everything that he is, with the very core of his essence, and puts it all right there before the throne of God. Listen, in one word, genuine worship is heartfelt. Genuine worship is honest before God. Remember, it's all about him. It's about giving to God, and it's about pleasing God because of who he is and because of what he has done. If who he is and what he has done does not move you, listen to me. If who he is and what he's done does not move you to the very core, I would challenge you to consider whether you are even in the faith. And that's not unscriptural, believe me. Paul's advice to the Corinthian church was to examine themselves as to determine as to whether they were in the faith. Listen, if who God is and what God has done does not absolutely move you and compel you to come to God with heartfelt and honest worship, you should examine yourself. So that's what it means to worship in spirit. It means to allow your spirit, your inner being, your heart, your emotions, your will, to genuinely, sincerely come before God in complete and utter awe and reverence, just overwhelmed by the glory of God, by the immensity of God, by the love, by the grace, by the mercy, by the justice of God. What an arrogant people we are when we will sit here as created beings and pretend to be able to define God or even declare whether he exists or not. What arrogance on our part, rather than falling prostrate on our faces in adoration of his greatness and goodness and love. And then he says that in addition to worshiping in spirit, God seeks those who will worship in truth. What does he mean by that? What does he mean that we are to worship God in truth? Well, simply stated, listen to me, it's not this complicated. It's not very complicated. Worshiping God in truth simply means that we are to worship God in his way. Listen. What some of us call worship is anything but worship. We don't define worship. God defines worship. We don't define how we worship God. He defines how we worship God. And God seeks those who will worship him in truth. In other words, he seeks those who will worship him his way. What's his way? How do we know how it is that God wants us to worship? How do we know if we're worshiping God in truth? Very simple. Very simple. It really isn't that complicated. You know how you know if you're worshiping God in truth? You know you're worshiping God in truth when you're worshiping God in a way that is in accordance with his revelation. Listen, read your Bible. Read the Word of God, for in the Word of God, he teaches you truth. And the more truth you know, the more you worship God in truth. It is not how you want to worship God, it's how God wants to be worshiped. And he tells you how he wants to be worshiped through Scripture. He tells you how he wants to be worshiped through his revelation. We need more than sincerity, folks. We need truth, namely the Scriptures, in order to worship God in truth. And the final statement I want to make is we have to worship God holistically. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. Listen to what it says really quickly here. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your, with all your mind and with all, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. What are we being told there? That we need to worship God holistically. We are to respond to all that God is, and we are to respond with our mind, with our soul, with our strength, with everything that we are. We are to give ourselves wholly, completely to God. It's not about, listen, how you seek to worship God. It's about how God seeks for you to worship him. Well, we've reached the end of this message. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that in your word you tell us what worship is. You tell us why it is that we should worship and how it is that we should worship. May you conform us more and more to the image of Christ so that in turn we may give ourselves completely and wholly to you. For it is in his name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to Truth to Live By. Truth to Live By is a production and ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. This ministry is a listener-supported ministry. Would you please consider prayerfully supporting us both with your prayers and financially? It is because of the contributions and the partnership of God's people that we are able to continue to bring this program to you each week on this radio station. We need your partnership so that we may be able to continue preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and proclaiming the truth of the Word of God. It is indeed our prayer that God is being glorified through the work that we do. If you are a believer, it is our prayer that God is using this to strengthen your faith and equipping you for service so that you may be able to do the work of the kingdom in this world. And if you are an individual who has not yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we pray that you would take this opportunity to do so simply by praying this simple prayer. Father, I acknowledge I am a sinner. I acknowledge I can do nothing to save myself or contribute to my salvation. I believe Jesus is who he claimed to be and who the Bible claims him to be. I ask him to forgive me of my sins, to come into my life, to create me anew, and to give me the gift of eternal life. For it is in his name that I pray. Amen. If you have prayed this prayer, I can tell you on the authority of the Word of God that you have been adopted and brought into the family of God, and you are now his child. Will you please let us know if you've made that decision so that we may be able to contact you in return and rejoice along with you. If you wanted to request any CD copies of any of our messages or any other resources that we have, we are asking that you do so in writing, and I'll give you our contact information in just a moment. I also want to make you aware of our website. Our web address is www.rffiministries.org. If you're requesting any resources, please address your letter to Truth to Live By, Post Office Box 23688, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227-0279. Our email address is truthtoliveby@rffiministries.org. Our phone number is 704-778-3759. Please visit our website where you can get a great deal of information about us at www.rffiministries.org. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.